From the K-12 High Speed Network in Imperial County, California, this is InfoSec. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of InfoSec, a podcast series for the K-12 public education sector. I'm Dr. Emil Ahangarzadeh. The information provided in this podcast series is intended to increase the security awareness of local education agencies and users, as well as to help them behave in a more secure manner within their work environment. While some of the tips may relate to maintaining a home computer, the increased awareness is intended to help improve your organization's overall cybersecurity posture. This is especially critical if employees access their work network from their home computer. In the past, technology was relatively simple. You just connected your computer to the internet and used it for your daily activities. But technology became more advanced when mobile devices came into our lives. Things like smartphones and tablets and so forth. These devices, they put the power of desktop computers right into our pockets. Now, while more mobile, these devices also brought their own unique security challenges. The next big technical advancement is the Internet of Things, or IoT. IoT is all about connecting everyday devices to the Internet, from doorbells and light bulbs to toy dolls and thermostats. For example, there are IoT refrigerators in the market today. So you can buy a gallon of milk and then tag it with a little sticker when you put it into your refrigerator, and the refrigerator will scan the bottle as it enters the refrigeration system and keep track of it. So when the milk is about to expire, it'll send you an email notification when it does expire. Now, if you approve, then the refrigerator will put an order into a delivery store to purchase your milk and then have it delivered. PlantLink is an IoT system. It'll monitor the humidity in the soil of your plants and send a signal to your irrigation system, which will automatically start watering the specific plants that are in need of water. You can use Google Home or Amazon's Echo Assistant to do all sorts of things, like control your lighting. For example, I can give a voice command to Echo, like, "Alexa, dim the lights." And it'll communicate with the Hue network lighting system created by Philips to dim the lights in your office. So that's what I mean when I say the Internet of Things. It's things networking with other things. But like mobile devices, IoT devices also come with their own individual security issues. So let's get to understand what those risks are and what you can do to secure your IoT devices, your home, and your family. The power of IoT is that most of these devices are pretty simple. For example, you simply plug your coffee machine in and it asks to connect to your Wi-Fi network. But all that simplicity comes at a cost. The biggest problem with IoT devices is that many of the companies making them have no experience with security. Instead, their expertise is manufacturing household appliances. Or perhaps they're a startup trying to develop a product the most efficient, fastest way possible, like on Kickstarter, for example. They're focusing on profits, not cybersecurity. And as a result, a lot of IoT devices that are purchased today have little or no security built into them. For example, some have default passwords that are well known, perhaps even posted on the internet, and they cannot be changed. In addition, many of these devices have no option or ability to be configured. You're stuck with whatever was shipped. And to make matters worse, many of these devices can be difficult to update or may not even have that capability. So many of the IoT devices you may be using can quickly become out of date with known vulnerabilities that can't be fixed, leaving you permanently vulnerable. So think of it. When you use a computer or your smartphones, they've got all sorts of security built into them, like firewalls, antivirus software, and address space randomization. But IoT devices don't have this. But the more fundamental issue
is that with all of this new connectivity, we have to think about how links flow not only from our will to the device, but in the case of IoTs, in two directions, from device to device, without you and I in the middle to mitigate that communication. If a device can send data up into the cloud, then it can also be contacted by the cloud. And this is where the issue of security arises. If a hacker can control IoT devices, then chaos ensues. So in October of last year, 2016, cyber criminals launched a distributed denial of service attack, a DDoS attack on Dyn. Dyn is a DNS provider, a domain name service provider, which a DNS is, it's the internet's equivalent to a phone book. So what Dyn does is they maintain a directory of domain names and translate them to internet protocol addresses or IP addresses. Now, this is necessary because even though domain names are easy for you and I to remember, computers or machines access websites not based on domain names, like www.cnn.com, but based on IP addresses, which is a string of numbers. Information from all the domain name servers across the internet are gathered together and housed at the central registry. Then host companies and internet service providers interact with the central registry on a regular schedule to get updated DNS information. So a DDoS attack aims to disrupt internet services, things like websites, so that the user can't access them. And of course, this is going to frustrate a lot of users, and it's going to cause potential financial loss for particular businesses and websites. So the reason these attacks are referred to as distributed denial of service attacks is because they use multiple, and I'm talking like thousands and tens of thousands of computers across the world in a coordinated attack. Traditionally, these computers have been Windows desktop PCs, which have been infected with malware. So at the right time, the malware is activated and all of the PCs suddenly come to life and they join what's called a botnet. Which is like a network of remote machines or bots, which stage the attack itself. So the Dyn DDoS attack took down Twitter, SoundCloud, Spotify, Reddit, and other sites as well. In fact, I was actually on a flight during that day, and because I teach online classes and was going to be in the air all day, I decided to fork over the cash to access the internet while I was flying. But the airplane's internet access portal used a pay gate that used Dyn. So I wasn't able to pay, in this case, T-Mobile, who was contracting through Dyn. T-Mobile is the carrier, so that I could access the net, which, you know, caused my students lots of frustration because I wasn't responding to them and so forth. Now, DDoS attacks aren't new, but there was something very special about this particular DDoS attack on Dyn. This one was launched not via personal computers, but via connected devices like DVR security cameras or network-attached storage devices. In fact, according to a security expert named Brian Krebs, a new piece of malware was developed which scans the internet for IoT devices and tries to connect to those devices. So if a device allows some kind of simple access using factory default usernames and passwords, then the malware connects and inserts a malicious payload. Now, another challenge with security cameras like baby cams or cameras set up for you to keep an eye on your dog while you're at work is that often they transmit data back to your mobile device without any encryption. So if you're sitting at Starbucks and you want to see how Fido is doing or to see if your husband really is at his home office during his work, I can be sitting right next to you at that Starbucks and sniff out your stream and see exactly what you're seeing on your device back at home. Plus, with just a little more know-how, I can sniff out your username and your password for accessing that webcam at home. And if you're using the same username and password for other systems like Amazon or your bank or your whatever, well, that's all she wrote, folks. way too many connected devices, like millions of them, grant access over the internet using default usernames and passwords, like admin as the username and admin as the password, or root as the admin and as the username and root as a password, or in some cases, no authentication at all. Now, the reason for that is simple. Inept software. Now, one of the characteristics of the IoT market is that the devices need to be cheap, at the consumer end at least. Adding internet connectivity is really just a selling point. And for some of these folks, it's just a gimmick. It's not a unique proposition. But adding that connectivity isn't just about running Linux on a processor and then adding some web services. If you do it correctly, the devices need to be secure. Now, adding security itself isn't really the hard thing, but it's an extra cost. So the foolishness of a short-term view is that skipping the security makes the product cheaper, but in many cases, it can make it a lot more expensive in other ways. So where does that leave you and me? Well, we definitely want you to leverage the power of IoT devices securely and effectively. These devices can provide wonderful features that can make your life simpler. They can help you save money. They can increase the physical security at your home. In addition, as the technology grows, you're not going to have any choice but to purchase or use IoT devices. So here are some steps that you can take to protect your IoT devices and yourself. First, connect only what you need to connect. The simplest way to secure an IoT device is to not connect it to the internet. And if you don't need your device to be online, don't connect it to your Wi-Fi network. For example, my thermostat can connect to the internet, and I can access it through an app from anywhere in the world, which is pretty cool. You know, I can change the temperature on my way home, so when I get there, it's just right. But it turns out that I never do that. So I disconnected my thermostat from the internet. Another thing you can do is to use a separate Wi-Fi network. If you do need your IoT devices online, you might want to consider creating a separate Wi-Fi network just for your IoT devices. Many Wi-Fi access points have the ability to create additional networks, like guest networks, which we actually discussed in a previous podcast. Another option is to purchase an additional Wi-Fi access point just for IoT devices. Now that keeps your IoT devices on an isolated network where they can't be used to harm or attack any computer or mobile devices connected to your primary home network, which is still the main interest of cyber criminals. Now just like your personal computer and mobile devices, you have to keep your IoT devices up to date. If your IoT device has the option to automatically be updated, enable it. And yes, you need strong passwords. Change any passwords on your IoT device to unique, strong passphrases that only you know. If you can't remember all of your passphrases, well, you know, don't worry. Most people can't. So consider using a password manager to securely store all of your secure, unique, complicated passwords. Password managers like Dashlane, or the one that I use, which is LastPass. Very inexpensive and a good investment for your personal security. Now, if your IoT device allows you to configure privacy options, limit the amount of information that it shares. One option is to simply disable any information sharing capabilities. And at some point, you might want to just replace an IoT device when your existing one has too many known vulnerabilities that can't be fixed, or there are just new devices that have far more security built into them. There's no one-size-fits-all for every device, so it's worth checking for best practices and any publications on how to secure them. Unfortunately, most IoT devices weren't developed with cybersecurity in mind, as I mentioned, so a lot of manufacturers don't even provide much security information. But as awareness of cybersecurity grows, we hope to see more and more IoT vendors build security into their devices and provide more information on how to protect them. One thing you can do about that is to influence the manufacturers by not buying IoT devices that don't specifically point out their security features, and let them know why you didn't buy their stuff on things like Yelp or Google reviews. Our collective purchasing power can move the industry.
Thanks for listening, everyone. InfoSec is brought to you by the Cybersecurity Education Program, a service of the Technical Assistance Professional Development System, administered by the K-12 High Speed Network and funded by California Assembly Bill 104. The Cybersecurity Education Program provides state-of-the-art cybersecurity awareness curriculum for all California K-12 Public Education Agency employees at no cost. For more information, visit k12tapped.org/CEP. That's k12tapped.org/CEP. Be sure to follow us on Twitter for more cybersecurity information. We're at Tapped Security.